Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. Before they started growing hemp, Sunset Lake Farms produced cream for Ben & Jerry's. Sunset Lake CBD doesn't use any pesticides or herbicides to grow any of its hemp plants, and they use organic fertilizer and other sustainable farming techniques to ensure the long-term health of the soil and to minimize their carbon footprint. So like all of us, my days are really stressful. By the end of the night, my kids are in bed, I'm taking a minute to chill, but I'm still unwinding. I recently started using the Relax Gummies infused with CBD isolate, reishi mushroom extract, and ashwagandha root extract. I'm really glad I tried these because they really helped me get ready for a good night of sleep, and I really think I sleep better, so I'd highly recommend it. So check out Sunset Lake CBD today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code HFPOD for 20% off your order. That's sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code HFPOD for 20% off your order. Farmer owned, Vermont grown, Sunset Lake CBD. Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you. Hey, listeners. I want to tell you about a sponsor, Music Masters Collective. They're a nonprofit organization that produces unique music events, providing opportunities for fans and artists to meet and collaborate in an inspired and creative atmosphere. Every week, they host different events, all with the opportunity to learn from world-class musicians like Oteil Burbridge, Trouble No More, former members of The Band, Milk Carton Kids, Nikki Glaspie, Bill Frisell, Sean Colvin, and many more. This June, join the Fab Four, Joan Osborne, John Sebastian, Marshall Crenshaw, and a great group of faculty for the debut of Magical Mystery Camp, this all-inclusive, once-in-a-lifetime music vacation experience in the heart of the Catskills will be packed with nightly performances, workshops, speakers, song circles, open mics, and a lot more. If you're a performing musician at any level, bring your instrument. If you're a music lover, bring your good spirit. It's an amazing experience for individuals, friends, and couples alike. Registration is open, spots are filling up, so check it out soon. And scholarships are available. Check out magicalmysterycamp.com/helpingfriendly to learn more. Hey everyone, this is the Helping Friendly Podcast. This is a quick hit. We are combining three shows into this quick hit, so it's a lot to talk about. It's my fault we didn't do one the first two nights because Brad and Jonathan have been in Vegas and willing and able to do quick hits anytime, so I apologize to everyone on their behalf. But now we're all together on the phone and we're going to talk about all three shows. What's up, guys?
Hey, you know, I've stayed up all night the past several nights waiting to do a quick hit in the morning with you and nothing.
Sitting in the closet.
We're finally here.
Sitting in the closet.
Yeah. Being quiet. Just sitting by his phone with nothing else on.
Oh, man. So, guys, these have been, I think, without any exaggeration, three pretty incredible shows. I'm really happy for you guys. I know, Brad, you're on your way home now, and Jonathan's staying for the last one. But, Brad, why don't you start? Tell us about the first night and sort of what your impressions were. I know this is your first time at the venue, too, right?
Yeah, first time, not first time in Vegas, but to see Phish. I didn't make it last time, last few times. It's fine. It's Vegas. I feel like the theater was made as cheaply as possible, or with the thought that we'll probably have to take this down someday. The room is small. It's okay. It's nice. Seats aren't anything to be proud about. But it was fun getting in there. You just walk straight from the casino into the arena.
Nice.
You know, take all the beers you want. It's all good, man. It's fun.
Awesome. And Jonathan, what about you? Did you have a similar reaction?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Little double standard about men not bringing in small backpacks and things like that. But, you know, we got around that and learned the way the first day so that we're getting in and everybody's bringing in their beverages of choice quite happily. And nice. For the aside from an occasional overzealous usher, you know, people are able to get where they need to be and, you know, get together with the people they want to see and rock out the shows. So pretty fun.
Yeah. So it was kind of funny the first night, Jonathan, one of your friends like basically couldn't give away his tickets, but it was right. Relatively crowded, like a soft sellout, I guess. And then it got progressively crowded, more crowded each night. So pretty good turnout. It's fun to see everybody, you know, you run into like, people you've seen a lot, but like instead you're next to some loud machine. So
yeah, that's pretty funny. I haven't seen Phish in Vegas since 2004, which was a really tough time for everyone, including me and the band. But so what about Jonathan? What were some of your musical highlights from night one?
Well, you know, they got right out of the gate pretty strong. They brought us Dog Stole Things, which I don't have the date in front of me, but had been kind of on the shelf for a while. That was really nice to see. Got a little bluegrass in there with Beauty. I like the Destiny kind of stretched just a little bit. Very type one, of course, but they took it for a little walk. Probably the first set, though, my highest highlight would be the Steam into the Wedge. Was a really cool segment. Not a long jam, perhaps a hashtag micro jams, but I had to get that in there. But pretty good. And then the second set, I think it's pretty obvious to folks that after the Grimes of the Mind bust out, Golden Age was big, and that whole sequence, really Golden Age, Simple Light, and 20 Years Later, I thought was just terrific. 25 minutes, Golden Age jamming. It's outstanding. Outstanding.
Yeah, that was, I think I listened to it more than I, you know, immediately listened to anything since, at least since the Kill Devil Falls from Atlanta of 2015. But there was some hyperbole online that it was the best jam since Tahoe Tweezer, the best jam since anyone can remember. But I think it was pretty amazing. They seemed to be pretty purposefully pushing it.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can duly rank it per se at this point because I have not gone back and listened to it more than once.
But nice.
It was good.
Brad, what were your thoughts on the first night musically?
Yeah, I thought it was good. They came out swinging. There wasn't any letdown, especially with the Martian Monster and then the No Man's to open. I was a little disappointed because I was hoping that there was going to be horns and that No Man's kind of took that out of the off the table, I guess, you know what I mean, right away like that. So, but otherwise, everything was just really well played, and I thought it was a great time. Jonathan and I got to hang out during the first set.
Awesome.
And most of that Golden Age, too, so it's good.
That's cool. I love getting a picture of you guys via text from before the show. That made me super happy, so I'm glad you guys got to hang out.
Yeah, that was fun. That was our first time to rock a show together.
It's crazy. It's good stuff. And then, so Saturday night, Jonathan, you and I were talking a little bit about before we started recording. But so there's a little bit of a theme developing, obviously, with the openers. Brad, do you want to talk about your takeaways from Saturday?
Well, I thought there'd be a little bit of a lull or something. You know, after that well played opening first night, we've talked about the three runs and four run shows a lot. And there's usually a night that is either like the relief night, it seems, or there's like a nervous night, and they haven't had either. They've been so locked in practice. Mm-hmm. It seems like everything is just whatever they wanted to do. It's gone off really well.
Man, they've been playing so well too. Just that first set, I feel like everything was like just well played. The Rogue got out there. The maze was raging. I love the Moore closer, but Jonathan, what about you?
Well, you know, again, birds kill devils. That's a good start. 555 rocks, but that the Rogier, yeah, you mentioned it, and you're right. That was probably one of my favorite things in that first set, almost definitely. But it's hard.
The two songs, Rogier and then Indigumbo. I mean, that's two first set, like top notch set, first set
right.
songs.
Right, and then you combine that with the maze a few songs later, and that's immense pieces of music, and Wingsuit Moore to close the set was, I thought, really terrific. So, but I like Wingsuit. So, what are you gonna do?
Yeah. What about the Moore closer? I mean, isn't that right? They did it at Alpharetta, and I thought it was just maybe it's just because I love to fist pump and listen to somewhat cheesy lyrics, but was it pretty energetic in terms of a set closer?
I thought so.
Yeah, just top notch. I love it. I love the catchy phrases. I talked sorry, a few different people just like, you know, stopped and said hello, and like two separate people made a mention to them like vibrating or with love and light or whatever, you know what I mean? So it's catching on.
Yeah,
well.
yeah, totally. And the second set, as you said, Jonathan, before, there wasn't a, you know, monster jam like Golden Age, but a lot of really nice stuff. It looks like from the Phish.net set list that it was almost all segues besides going into the horse. So that's pretty cool. What was your feeling from that second set, Jonathan?
Oh man, you know, they took Mercury for a little walk. Good Piper build. Sense, no intro, but a really nice sense, and then they dropped into Tweezer right when, you know, on some other shows they wouldn't have surprised us if they dropped into a ballad or something. Mm-hmm. At that point they dropped into a Tweezer. Everybody ate that up. And then I Always Wanted It This Way kind of stretched out a little bit and gave everybody more of a continuation for their dance party. Horse Silent was nice too. Right. After all that, no. Go ahead, Brad. I just was.
I was going to say, I thought I know the Golden Age it was outstanding in 25 minutes, but that little run of music to me was a highlight of the weekend, because that Tweezer was unexpected, but the sense before it was beautiful. I love that song, and then I Always Wanted This Way. I mean, just like 11 minutes of Vita Blue, basically.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was I think I got in trouble with the comparing Phish to Umphrey, so maybe just comparing it to Vita Blue is a safer way to categorize that, but that's a good point. It was pretty cool jamming. I was listening to last night or Saturday night with a friend on Sunday who's not a Phish fan, and at the end of that jam he was like, wow, that was some pretty non-Phish sounding stuff for a while there, which is kind of just interesting. Someone who I've subjected to a lot of Phish but isn't a fan, so people definitely, it seems like a different direction, you know?
Yeah, but a good yeah. one, a welcome one.
Yeah, for sure. And so guys, the theme, or not the theme, but the sort of, I don't know, just opening with one song from the Thrilling Chilling set, Every Night Continued Until Last Night. I guess talk about that first set last night, but also is there any, are they just going to close it out tonight with, you know, one of those songs, or is there more to it, you think?
I'm not sure I could decipher more than what they've laid out for us at this mm-hmm. point.
Yep.
Yeah, my thoughts are it's like them just revisiting it and how they remembered how fun it was and probably excited about it. True. I don't think it's going to tie into tonight at all. But it could, hopefully. I want to say, too, a couple of high-level points. One would be that I Always Wanted This Way is Paige getting a lot of room. And, you know, we were talked about that article a lot in Rolling Stone. But I wonder if that has anything to do with it, or if, you know, they like that song. So, mm-hmm. And then the second one is I'm not. I walked around a lot last night, and I found some good spots for the sound. But I don't think the sound is top notch for a fish venue. I think the highs could be better, but you know, I'm not taking away. It's still really fun, and I'm just nitpicking. So, and I talked to a few of the tapers last night, and they kind of said the same thing. So.
Interesting. Yeah, I remember you mentioning that via text, Brad. Does it seem like it's set? It is an arena for shows, obviously, but maybe not for like you said, top notch stuff. I don't know, Jonathan. Have you noticed anything about the sound?
Well, you know, just like any of these places, it's kind of variable wherever you go. So I've had good sound and I've had okay sound, and a place this as crowded as this place is becoming, I tend to opt for elbow room and comfort over optimal sound, because you can hear pretty well anywhere. And being old, my high frequency hearing is a little lost anyways. So maybe I'm just easy to please.
Maybe that's
some
my
respects.
Fault. Yeah.
So what about let's quickly talk about the second set, guys. Last night, there's about 40 minutes of awesome improv there between the Donald Disease and the Birds of a Feather. How was the second set for you guys?
Well, I can't discount the first set, but I'll be really brief on.
Oh, sorry.
Just noting
sorry.
That it's okay. It's kind of blues heavy. And blues and rock heavy, mm-hmm. and was terrific. You know, nice page ballad in the middle, and I really liked the Stash. I thought that it was strong, even though it doesn't. You know, it's not getting that like high wire 1994 tension, but had some good tension and some good playing and landed nicely. And at the end of Stash, you could tell we were behind the stage. You could see. We could clearly see Trey looking extremely jazzed and excited. He turned to Fishman and, you know, called for the next song. And then they went into theme, and that theme is not to be missed, I think.
Really, really good.
And then there was the second
set. The first set was nice again to hear them play those stashes and themes and stuff, and just be confident about it, and it sounds so good. I'm kind of disappointed in Ghosts being second slot like that. They're still good and all that, but I wouldn't mind it. Just open the second set with a Ghost every once in a while. I mean, is that too much to ask?
Yeah, no, it has seemed to move back into like a different spot. It's a good point.
But I like what they do with it in that spot. Mm-hmm. So
that's fair. I think we can agree that Ghost is awesome and that we want to hear it more and for it to be played longer. Jonathan, what about the second set?
Big Disease. How about that? And then Big Birds that gets out there a little bit too. They were really going for it. If anything, I mean, what do you got? What is that, like 37? Then maybe if you include the Fuego, you got a nice 40 some, almost 50 minutes of just powerhouse fish.
Yeah,
a lot of peaks.
Surprised to hear the Birds go so far. Again, it just goes back to them playing well, I think, right? They can take whatever they want out for a walk, a stroll.
And then A Pretty Miss You. And then Harry Hood, which my first Have Mercy right in the middle of it. And we were just raving about that when we got out of the show.
That Have
night.
Mercy was just seamless. The transition within Hood, man, just seamless and beautiful. What fun. You could tell, all, you know, with all four of them singing, they're really enjoying it.
Yeah. And we all were too, I think.
It's cool. It's really cool. It's like going back to the 93 days there, which is pretty cool. They haven't done it that much since. I think the last time they did it was 2011 and a couple times before that in 3.0. So that's a rare thing to see. Pretty cool.
Yeah, very excited about that. And Day in the Life was big and well-placed, I thought, to close it up.
It's fun to, you know, that's a generally an encore, you know, and it was the first night we heard the Cavern closer for the first set, but then they played Waves, or Walls. And then you know, it's fun to them switching things up. We always talk about set list.
That's the classic.
And yeah.
That's the classic 3.0 fake out. They make you think the set's end and then wait.
Yeah.
One more closer.
Yep. It's awesome. So, guys, one more question is, what's going to happen tonight? Is there any, do you have any idea whatsoever? Do you want to play this losing game of trying to guess?
No. I think if there's any hint at all, it has to do with Trey's tone, the kind of meteor, Marshall head, rather, driven tone, which I'm loving the sound of. It's, you know, it's got a nice tendency to, you know, it's right on the edge of feedback at times, and he's been playing with that a lot. And I suspect that it has something to do with what they're doing, but it's certainly not enough of a clue for me to tell you that it is thus and such. So,
got it.
I assume that once we hear it tonight, we'll be like, oh yeah, that's why he sounded like this, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be fun, but there's a clear change of tone and the way they're playing to Trey sat back a lot. Not so much last night, but Saturday night for sure. There was tons of room for Mike and Paige, and that was really fun. He's just kind of playing conductor. I think it was the steam that the first night too. That just he was just so nice and relaxed and sitting back during it. I thought that was really fun to listen to. So hopefully that carries through. Maybe, you know, all the talk is people are certain it's a 70s album.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard, you know, Genesis. I've heard Yes tunes. I've heard, obviously, Bowie. So those are the three main ones.
I just want to make a plug for Physical Graffiti. That's just what I want to make a personal plug for, just in case they haven't decided yet and they listen today.
Well, yeah, then in that case, I'm going to counter that with Band of Gypsies. But,
perfect. Awesome. Well, Brad, what would be your plug, or what would be your hope?
I think it'd be great to maybe, like, are you experienced from Jimi Hendrix and the experience?
Man, that would be awesome. They could also just do the Dead, guys. They could play the Dead. It would just be wrapping
I'd
all
just
up.
Be happy with a third set playing. That would be nice.
Okay, maybe that. Well, this is going to be awesome. Jonathan, I'm so excited that you get to go tonight. It's going to be a blast, and we're obviously going to be coming back.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, we're going to be coming back tomorrow with a quick hit to discover whatever happened. So we'll talk to you then, Jonathan. But I think we'll play what do you guys want to play from the first night?
I like the steam, but
yeah,
I already said that.
Give him some of that steam jam.
Steam,
that's good.
Yep, steam. And then second night we'll play. What do you want to play from the second night?
Roger Peak.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sounds good.
I like where this is going. And then last night.
Last night's got some good stuff. What do you think?
Big Peak and Disease, maybe?
Or that Hood transition into Have Mercy.
There you go.
All right. We will.
Your choice.
We're going to leave it there. Jonathan, do you want to make the final call between the Hood and the Disease Peak?
No, I'm going to let you surprise everybody and call it Dealer's Choice.
Dealer's Choice. All right. Awesome, guys. Brad, safe travels home. And Jonathan, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining. Thanks for listening, everybody. Jonathan, don't forget to keep on rocking, all right?
Do my best.
All right, buddy. Later, guys.
All right. Bye.
What is a city without its music?
The legacy of the New York Philharmonic
is incredible. Nearly two centuries of history. That's a lot of music and a lot of stories.
I was sitting on stage for the very first time thinking, I can't quite believe this is happening.
Join me, Jamie Bernstein, as we explore the history of the New York Philharmonic. It's the NY Phil Story Made in New York, a podcast about a city, its people, and their orchestra. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
dreadful night. And as lovers soared in flight, blissful weeks turned into seasons. Then one day without a reason, oh goodbye, you flew below. Back to animals, you know. Now you forever sing your song with the wolves where you belong. But alone I often dream, I hear you sing in the steam. you, Mr. Miner. Thank you, Mr. Miner. Thank you, Mr. Miner. Thank you, Mr. Miner.
On the door, I couldn't What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty, host of the Punk Rock NBA podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. My podcast is all about doing what you love for a living, and every week I sit down and talk to people who have done exactly that. For example, musicians like Tommy from Between the Buried Me, Matt from Periphery, Lil Lotus and Shinigami, among many others, photographers, artists, designers, YouTubers like Glenn Fricker and Sarah Dici, and I unpack exactly how they got to where they are today with the goal of helping you do the same. So if that sounds cool, you can listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com, and I'll see you there.
The number you have reached is 100.7 WMMS.
It wasn't just a radio station, it was a lifestyle.
Cleveland is a rock and roll city for sure.
Get down!
The Wrath of the Buzzard. WMMS. Cleveland.
The rise and fall of one of the most iconic radio stations in America. Profiles. The Wrath of the Buzzard. PROH Files. Subscribe now wherever you get podcasts.